Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And good morning, and thank you for joining us here on the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I'll be chatting with Dr. Darren Green, medical doctor and wellness advocate, and Angelica. Watch me on this one, Angelica. Grimbreek, did I get it right? Woohoo! Policy and program manager at Healer. We're going to be touching on a very, very interesting topic and something very close to my heart, obesity in South Africa and what is its impact on our nation's health and also the systems and structures in place to deal with and treat patients. So this is going to be a really interesting conversation. Please let us have your questions for our guests on 061-895-1019. We'll be back with our guests after these ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It's Monday. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and I'm joined by Dr. Darren Green, medical doctor and wellness advocate, and Angelica Grimbreek. Getting terrified here each time. Sorry, Angelica. Policy and program manager at Healer. Thank you for joining us on today's show, guys.
Good morning.
Having us.
Okay. Absolute pleasure. Looking forward to having you. And also, we chatted off air, Angelica, so we want to hear the Jack Russell when he comes in to share his contribution. So let's start off with the doc. First question. If we look at the impact of obesity, the increase in diabetes, the increase of weight-related diseases, but also versus hunger and malnutrition in South Africa. Both of these are having an impact on our healthcare systems. Let's touch on obesity first, Doc. How serious is it, and what are the impacts that we're seeing?
No, great. Thank you. I think what's good to know is that, you know, if you don't know about the problem, you don't know how to address it and start actioning, obviously, a change in behaviors towards solving a problem. So I think the first thing is to recognize that South Africa has one of the highest obesity rates in Africa. And about half of adults in South Africa are either overweight or obese. And I mean, there's a lot to be said out there because the gradings of obesity range from mildly obese, you know, moderately obese, or, you know, absolutely, you know, seriously obese. So that aside, if you think about the burden of obesity in South Africa, I said just about half, so just under half of all South Africans are either overweight or obese. Of that, the distribution is about 68% of South Africans, and between 30 and 40% of men are overweight or obese. And with that comes then obviously the warning bells for childhood obesity, for which we are well renowned as being one of the highest rates in the world. So overweight and obesity in children between the ages of 5 and 18, for example, rose from 9% in 2000 to about 21% in 2022. Sure. So that is a shocking stat, and I'm sure that it makes all of our ears stand on end, because 13% of kids, as I've mentioned, between the age of 6 and just becoming teenagers at the age of 13. We make a massive contribution to those stats, unfortunately, Nicholas. And
Doc, we seem to be just losing you a little bit on your audio. Your mic seems to be cutting out. If you could maybe just have a look at that. Let me come with another question on this, because I think South Africa is relatively unique in the world with regards to this, but I think it does affect many other countries. you know, obesity is not necessarily a wealthy disease. When you don't have access to, you know, healthy food is incredibly expensive. And the more affordable food, the fast food, I suppose what we would maybe refer to as junk food, is far more accessible, far more affordable. You know, you see these sellers on the sides of the road in the inner city with these large packets of chips and breaking them down into a... So sometimes, you know, and a staple, I think, for many South Africans is a loaf of white bread and a 2-liter bottle of cola, because the cola is giving you the energy and the white bread is filling you. With that in mind, Doc, also then, how big a thing is it culturally to be overweight, to be heavy, to be big?
Yeah, I think it's about what is the belief system in the population in terms of what it means to be healthy. For many parents, when they look at children, they think that they are doing well as parents when the child looks a little bit chubby and their hands and feet look like they've been screwed on. Then we know we're doing okay, the child's getting enough milk, we are feeding mm-hmm. them well, and we're not depriving them of anything. So the question is, in our different pockets and in society, what is the understanding and the picture of health that currently exists? Do we need to shift it, and how do we shift it? So when we look specifically at understanding weight management, for example, in some cultures, it's regarded as being normal and healthy to be slightly overweight. And the problem there is that it's just a lack of understanding and a lack of education, looking at the link between how much excessive weight we carry around and how that shortens your lifespan over time. I mean, and with that comes the beautiful atomic habits kind of theory of how do small increments now influence the long term, you know, effect over 30, 40, 50 years, and of poor decision making around some of these things leads to an accelerated path to premature death and losing time with your loved ones. I think that's important to highlight.
Absolutely. And also the quality of time, because correct. If you are carrying so good much point. Weight, you're not mobile. You can't get out. You are stuck at home. Difficulty walking. You know, we see people where there is so much mass on the body that, you know, you mentioned the hands and feet being screwed on, but where it's hanging over the ankles and movement is incredibly difficult.
The strain on your joints. The strain on your joints, for example, and those systems. The strain on your back and the skeleton. The skeleton is designed and the size of your skeleton to handle a certain amount of muscle and soft tissue attached to it. And then the big thing is, why do we eat? And the thing is also, how do we fuel our engines to sustain and to do the activities we choose to do every day? And part of the mismatch with managing weight and obesity is the fact that we don't match the amount of energy we're consuming with the amount of energy we are of obviously burning with our activity levels.
Absolutely.
So obviously, there's a lot to be said, and you mentioned different forms of addictions in our earlier conversation, but a massive influence on behavior comes through what gives you an immediate gratification dopamine hit and what doesn't. So that's a big influence on behavior and decisions.
Absolutely. And I think talking about sugar in particular, and then Angelica, I want to just get to you quickly before we go to ads, but physiologically, you know, I read a report saying sugar is 8 times more addictive than heroin. And our bodies are far smarter than we are. So when our glucose drops, our brain goes muffin, chocolate, chips. It's not going salad, fruit, these type of things. It's wanting the dopamine and that glucose hit very, very quickly. So we got to keep an eye on our bodies. Angelica, tell us a little bit about Hela. Am I pronouncing that correctly? What is that and what are we seeing as the economic impact on the country from the obesity epidemic?
Yeah, so Hela, we are a civil society advocacy group. We are trying to get the government pass regulations that actually enable all South Africans to eat healthy. Specifically, through basically trying to restrict the marketing, the surge of unhealthy foods and ultra-processed foods that we're seeing. And there are definitely solutions for this. And even just reflecting on how we are talking about obesity, of course, individuals experience obesity, households experience obesity and diabetes and cardiovascular, all of these diseases that are coming from these unhealthy. But we do need to remember that it is extremely difficult often for an individual to actually make healthy choices just because of the food environment that we're living in. It really is difficult to go to a shop and pick the healthy option. We've already mentioned that affordability, but it is just really actually, if you go, I mean, when you go to the shops, that little aisle of fruit and veg is so small. The meat is really expensive, but we've got aisles and aisles of processed food. So this is really, of course, how we are treating.
Sure. So this is such an important point, and I want to touch on it when we get back from our ad breaks, and also perhaps touch on the checkout aisle that you're walking through with all of these brightly colored sweets and treats and stuff. It's really, it's a challenge. We'll get to that straight after these ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you so much for joining us today here on the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show on 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Engel, and I'm chatting with Dr. Darren Green, medical doctor and wellness advocate, and Angelika Grimbrek, policy and program manager at HeLa. We're chatting about obesity and its impact on society and the healthcare systems. Before we went to ads, and just let us have your questions as well for our guest on our studio WhatsApp number. I always forget this, 061-895-1019. Just before we went to ads, Angelika, we were touching on sort of the role of HeLa. And I think it's unbelievable, and I'm really positive about this outlook, because if we see what happened in society with cigarette smoking and advertising and these companies with these massive budgets, as well as alcohol, I think applying this to healthy eating is something that's essential. Just before ads, we spoke about, you know, the aisles and aisles and aisles of stuff that is so easily accessible, so refined, so processed, as well as the checkout aisle, and why healthy food is so expensive. If we can pick up where we left off, just about the work that you are doing.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, as I was saying, it's often seen that the individual is almost at fault because they are obese or ill with these diseases. But it's really, the reality is that it's so difficult to make healthy choices. And this is for everyone, lower income, high income, everyone. Of course, we also know that diseases like obesity and diabetes, it's chronic, they're long-term diseases. And it's really, I mean, they're quite scary ones. I mean, I remember when I was a clinical dietitian, doing education to a person that has now found out that they are diabetic, for example, it's a life-changing moment. And I mean, it affects the household, it affects them. They have to now learn about this whole condition. They have to learn a new way of eating to be able to treat it. They have to maybe even pay more for medicine, etc. And it really affects the household and the whole community. I mean, even in South Africa, we know that annually obesity actually costs the healthcare system around 52 billion rand. I mean, that's a huge amount of money. 15% of the health expenditure just goes to that, and that is it's very scary figures. So we need preventative measures. Really. And in South Africa, we've got some policies and regulations in place that actually are trying to curb this surge of huge consumption of ultra processed foods that are leading. So, I mean, one of them is the health promotion levy. It is a fiscal policy. It's a taxation on sugar sweetened beverages. We've got in the pipeline, we're going to have front of packet warning labels that are going to on unhealthy food products. There's some marketing restrictions, especially with infant formulas. And really, there's a lot of things going on that are trying to get a bit of control over these ultra processed, which are very necessary.
Yeah, from just something to share, a little bit personal. You know, I mentioned I've been sober for 19 years. When I was drinking, I was about close on 40 kilos heavier than I am now. I was massive, and I went from about nearly 130 kilos down to 78 kilos over 3 years. I mean, there was 20 drafts a day. So you can just imagine the calories and the sugar impact on that. And the one thing I realized that was so beneficial was it was starting to rain one day, and I ran for my car. I got into my car and I was wet, not because I was sweating, but because I got rained on. And the enhancement and the improvement in quality of life is so massive just when we are able to reduce our weight. But I remember being tired coming home and thinking, you know what, I'll just stop off and grab a pie from the garage. It's meat. It's fine. That's good. And, you know, eating this process, not having time to cook. There was a wonderful book by a coach called Dan John. He's written many training books, and he wrote a weight loss book called Weight Loss Begins on a Monday. And he's talking about your most important thing that you can do is your grocery shopping and your meal prep on a Sunday. So when Monday starts, everything's done. You don't have to make decisions hungry. And I think this is the problem. We're making decisions hungry with low blood sugar, and we have this access to all of this food that's not really perhaps in our best interest. What I just wanted to also ask the doc, you mentioned, and she's like 30% of the budget, but how is that also in terms of bed space and time? Because that means what, 30% of the doctor's times in the healthcare system is dealing with a lifestyle disease. What's the impact you see it having on the system?
Yeah, the impact on our health system, obviously dealing with non is, you mentioned hypertension, you mentioned diabetes, and then obesity. So what happens is with these three combined and the increased rate of the complications of these diseases on the different body systems, you end up with a massive load on the healthcare system. I mean, most people don't know that more than 50% of deaths in South Africa are due to NCDs. But how does that impact the resources? Well, it leads to hypertension complications, diabetes complications, and weight management complications on the joints, orthopedic problems, etc., flooding our healthcare system. So the people don't die of diabetes, they die of the complications of diabetes. So to put that into perspective, it's like having a whole lot of acid running in the pipes, in the blood vessels, causing structural damage to the pipes over time, eventually leading to things like blockage of the pipes. So depending on the target organ system involved, poor wound healing on the legs, amputations, for example, eyesight, retinopathies, kidney failure, and then heart attacks and strokes being right at the top of the causes of disability and death, crippling people from entering the workforce. So our doctors, our nurses, whether you're in private or in public sector, and especially in the government sector as well, you have to think about the increased prevalences of these disease and us having to manage and fill our clinics with the complications. And that's a drain on the resources, not only manpower-wise, but also resources in terms of medication, in terms of the impact of that on therapy, in terms of rehab and getting people back to a functional level. And, you know, the problem is that the prevention is better than cure, because once you have these compounded NCDs, your chances of developing a complication with each one that you have goes up 20%. You know, if you've got one of them, your risk factor is 20%, 240, 360% of dying from a complication. So that's why the impact on our resources is so important and crucial to change.
We're going to go to ad break. And when we come back, I'd like to touch on sort of, we've got the budget coming up. You know, what are we seeing the impact of the increase in the tax? You know, our industry saying this threatens jobs, this threatens people's livelihood, but also then from the view of what is obesity really costing the country. So let us have your questions for our guests on 061-895-1019. You're listening to the Disco Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Ingle, and we'll be back with you after these ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dischem. Better health starts here.
And we are back with our guests, Dr. Darren Green, medical doctor and wellness advocate, and Angelica Grimbreek, policy and program manager at Hilo. We're chatting obesity in South Africa, its cost not only physically, but on the healthcare system, on the economy, and on the individual. Let us have your questions for our guest on our studio WhatsApp number 061-895-1019. So just before we went to ad break, and this is usually when I show my age because I forget the question that we were going to discuss after the ad break, I wanted to touch on sort of the impact on sort of bed space, time with the healthcare practitioners. And I think where our system is so stretched already, if we were able to deal with the impact of obesity and really reduce that, let's say over the next 10 or 20 years, what would that mean for the healthcare system? I'd like to throw that question out sort of to both of you, and perhaps Angelique, from your side, more of a financial impact on the system. So let's start with you, and then we'll go to the doc.
Yeah, so I mean, we do need to acknowledge that obesity is a very complex disease, and we can't say that there's one solution out there that's going to fix everything. It's really, it needs lifestyle changes, it needs policy changes, it needs healthcare system changes, everything. So, but as I mentioned, there is one solution that has been around since 2018. It's the health promotion levy. So it's a taxation that's been put on specifically sugary drinks. And it's, I want to just maybe mention, a lot of people think it's a sugar tax. It's just on sugary drinks, because we found that when researchers were trying to get the Treasury to pass this, that sugary drinks specifically, like our sodas, our milky drinks, our energy drinks that a lot of people are drinking now as well, they contain a lot of free sugars that are specifically bad, and they get metabolized differently in our body than sugars that we'll find in food or even table sugar. So it's a taxation on that, trying to curb that overconsumption of these sugary drinks. And we, at that stage, when it was implemented, it was at a rate of about 11%. So I'm not going to go into the big details of that, but basically for every 100 mils of a drink, if there is 4 grams or more, it gets taxed with a specific amount of cents per per gram. We've found that now over the last almost decade that the Treasury has not been increasing this tax based on inflation. So it's actually eroding this, eroding the effects of it. So it was at 11%, it's now below 10%. So we've seen positive results with it of changing consumer behavior. So people are consuming less of these sugary drinks, so they're consuming less sugar. They also, we've seen that the industry has reformulated their products to contain less, obviously, because they don't want to be taxed. So a lot of these sugary drinks have less than 4 grams of sugar now in per 100 mils. But what we're finding is that because the Treasury is not increasing this, and they've been doing this consistently over a few years, that it has been eroded, the effects are getting less and less. And that is a big problem. If the World Health Organization has actually recommended that this tax should be at 20% to curb, to start actually having effects on obesity, etc. And if we were to see it at 20%, we would actually see a 5 billion amount of savings in the healthcare system over the next 20 years. And I mean, these are huge figures. We also would have seen more revenue being generated that the government could possibly use for health promotion activities, where it's not happening. So we really need to look at something like that is an active intervention in South Africa, and really start reforming it and taking it seriously at the National Treasury level and with the budgets that you mentioned.
Okay, just to touch on that, Doc, before we go to you, it's actually terrifying to see the cost of sugary drinks in supermarkets versus water. I mean, we were away camping recently, and we went to go stock up, and you look at sort of a 2-liter bottle of cola on special for 9 rand or 12 rand, and then you look at a 6-pack of bottled water, 500 mils by 6, at 89 rand. You think, what is going on here? How does this make sense? It's great to see some of the supermarket chains having refillable water options for about a rand a liter, that type of thing. But Doc, in your experience, what are you seeing in terms of how much these sugary drinks are contributing to obesity? Because how much are they part of our lifestyle?
It's a massive contribution in the sense that, you know, almost because of a lack of understanding what's in what you're consuming, because it's just flooding the market in terms of what's popular culture, what's part of the culture, etc. People get thirsty when it's hot and they consume whatever it takes to quench the thirst and to, you know, to get something of to cool them down. And the issue for us is not knowing what is in what you're consuming, not reading the label, not understanding the basics of the different food groups and their impact, for example, on your long-term health, is part of the problem. So what people do is they would just do what's done by everyone else in the community. The same applies to soda, the same applies to energy drinks, which carry a separate label of health risks as well, specifically in our teenagers in that group at school. But that apart from it, understanding that the sugary drinks, the problem there is they want immediate gratification. And in a culture where, for example, you want to pick me up when you're tired, that's exactly what sugar does. It's a crutch, obviously, that gives you a spike in your sugar level. And what you might feel as beneficial right now doesn't result, obviously, in the insulin spikes that you get to regulate that level, leads to health-term complications. So that's where the problem comes in. It's not understanding the label and the contents.
I think also, the as you said, the impact, because you have your sugary drink, your blood sugar goes up, your insulin goes up, but 2 hours later, everything's crashing, and you've got another level of craving there, plus the dehydration that it's contributing to. So we're going to go to it's diuretic. Absolutely. We're going to go to ads now. When we come back, I want to look at sort of why do you think that some of the healthier options that are available are not being used by members of the public, and what can we do to switch out a sugary drink for a green apple, as an example. You're listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM. My name is Nicholas Engel, and I'm chatting with Dr. Darren Green and Angelica Grimbrek. We're talking about obesity and its impact on our nation's health and our nation's finances and medical systems. Pesach is just a few weeks away, and if you're a business trying to reach the Jewish community, now is the moment. At 101.9 High FM, we're launching our Pesach advertising campaign, helping businesses connect with thousands of listeners as they prepare for the busiest time of the year, from food and wine to travel, gifts, clothing, cleaning, and everything in between. If your business has something people need before Pesach, we can help you reach them. Radio works. It's immediate, trusted, and it reaches the community when it matters most. So, if you want your brand heard across the community this Pesach, speak to the team on Chai FM. To find out more, message us on 061-895-1019 or email us at info@chai.com and we'll get in touch. Chai FM, we're the sound of the community.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
Thank you so much for being with us here on the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show on 101.9 Chai FM. We're chatting obesity and its impact not only on our nation's health, but on its finances and healthcare system. Just before we went to the break, Doc, I'm going to open this to you and then to you, Angelica. What can we, you know, my challenge when looking at something like this is being a coach, dealing with athletes at international level. You know, we live in a world of perfection where the athlete is willing and able to do whatever you tell them in terms of their nutrition. But in reality, if you're telling people leave the Coca-Cola and get an apple, that might not be feasible or available to them. So how do we start moving away from the fizzy drinks, the risk of that sugar spike, that insulin spike? What can people start to do from a daily eating habit to start moving themselves towards being healthier?
Great question. And I think, knowledge is power once again, but power, there's power in numbers. So I think the first thing to do is don't do it alone. I think if you want to change behavior and you want to align yourself with a life vision of being around long enough to be with your family members, as a dad, as a mom, as a partner, then I think if you spend time with like-minded people that want to go on the same journey with you, it's 10 times easier. It's the same when everyone wants to turn over a new forest in New Year's and everyone's in the gym on the 2nd of January. By the time we hit the second week in February, the gyms are empty again and you're back to your old habits. So the only way to change habits, Nicholas, is to have a goal and a reward and to be able to see the incentive of doing it. The brain loves changing if it understands that there'll be benefit. Mm. And we as a human species, we love shortcuts. We want to undo 20 years of bad habits in a very short time. That's the popularity of some of the injectable weight loss drugs, for example, etc., etc., and the abuse thereof in the healthcare system. So, like-minded people, number one. Secondly, understanding what the things are that do good for you. So firstly, do good. What are the things that do harm and bring harm to you? Understanding those effects of the inflammatory effects of sugar, for example. I think a lot of people don't know that in terms of sugar, the effects on the body is not just, it's not just a raise in your blood level. It's what it does too, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. See it as acid in the pipes causing long-term damage if it's uncontrolled. See it too as being part of giving you energy for the amount of energy you need, but not the best form of energy for all sorts of activity. Along with that, it has an effect on other body systems like the liver, for example. Mm-hmm. And then identify the hidden sources of these packed, dense calories, etc. Because if you don't know that they're hidden in so many different things that we use in South African culture, for example, you're just going to carry on. So I think a lot of it's got to do with choosing the right crowd, the like-mindedness, having the product knowledge, starting to become aware of what you put into your body, reading the labels, knowing that there are 10 teaspoons of sugar in a tall glass of apple juice or soda, for example, and understanding that, you know, what you choose now will have an impact in 10 years and 20 years. And that's what it's about for me. It's a fallacy that it's healthier or not healthier, that it's easier and cheaper to eat junk food than it is to eat healthy. The problem is we don't know what the healthy options are in our culture. And with every part of the world, your choice of vegetables, there's certain vegetables that are really in the top five in Scandinavia versus Africa versus India, for example. What you need to know is what in your pool and availability of freshly grown stuff is available to you. And you'll see the volumes that you can actually buy for the equal volumes of what it costs to buy red meat, for example, is massive in terms of fruit and alternative sources of protein, for example. You know, varying it up a little bit, chicken, fish, meat, vegetarian options as well. So understanding that you have options. Tin food, things like sardines and pilchards with their high protein count and omega, cheap, inexpensive meals that people just don't know about. They might think the fishy breath is a bad idea, but that fishy breath can make you live 15 years longer in the long term. So practical things, and I hope that helps.
Absolutely. Great advice. I love your thoughts on community as well, where, you know, in the inner city, I was very fortunate for a year to work in the inner city of Joburg and seeing the spaza shops and these little cafes where if the community is getting together, you get 20, 30 of your neighbors going, hey, buddy, we want more fresh fruit. We want more fresh vegetables. Let's do it. Or there was a couple of VIT students, I think about 20 years ago, that had a thing called the Door Project, where on the size of a door, you can grow a vegetable garden that can feed a family of four. So, wow. You know, there's so many ways to empower ourselves. Great, great advice. Jalika, from your side, your thoughts?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I see we're getting signal. We'll get to you as soon as we're back from these ads. You're listening to the Disco Medical Monday show here on 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Nicholas Engel. I'm chatting with Dr. Darren Green and Angelika Grimbrek. Stay with us.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dischem. Better health starts here.
That was a very happy sounding advert. So we just before we went to ad break, we were about to ask Angelika her thoughts. Go for it. We've got a few minutes left, and I think a great way to start wrapping up the show.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important what Dr. Green has mentioned, that we have to take power of our own lives. But I do want to just say that, I mean, I think he mentioned that there's been 20 years of unhealthy habits being formed. And it really correlates really well with about 20, 30 years ago, a lot of multinational companies came into South Africa. They started bombarding our shelves with very unhealthy products, started advertising very heavily on us. And I mean, these are sugary drinks. These are the chips, the treats, the big names. I mean, I can't mention any, but we know who are these big multinational companies. And they went to schools. They have advertisements at schools. I mean, to get children to be hooked and create brand loyalty with you from such a young age all the way up until adulthood. I mean, everyone in this country knows of these big companies and eats these foods that are thrown at us. And I think that that is really important to note, that it's quite difficult to make healthy choices, of course, because of education and not understanding and affordability and all of that. But that also it's a very strategic thing that these companies have done, that they have enforced themselves into our culture, and they do it very cleverly. I mean, we know, we've watched the adverts, we have been around for long enough to be able to taste these foods. They're very addictive in their flavors. They create different flavors on the monthly. It feels like there's new ones that are very culturally created as well, which it's very clever marketing. It's very clever strategies in the long term. So I think it's really important that, of course, the individual needs to take power of their lives, but we need to also have the government enforce regulations and laws against this type of these strategies. As I've mentioned, there's many different ways to do this. Fiscal policies like health promotion levy, we're going to see marketing restrictions that are really important to protect children, especially, and even adults. I mean, we fall for these marketing schemes. We mustn't think that we're too clever, even though we, because they do know how to use our belief systems and everything to be able to manipulate what we want to eat. We've mentioned also in supermarkets that there's that horrible aisle. I mean, I've got kids to walk down. It's terrible. Just have to keep saying no. And it's so difficult to say no, no, no the whole time. And so we need help as consumers. We need it to be coming from a higher level so that we can start making better choices and be able to then live healthier lives.
So I think just as we start to wrap up, the final thoughts that I get from both of you is, firstly, we are able to empower ourselves in terms of our health, but also the companies that profit off our spend need to start taking responsibility for their customers' well-being. They're smart enough and they're big enough to provide, I'm not even going to say healthier options, but to provide healthy options that see the longevity of their clients. Rather see someone be your client into the 90s than losing them at 50 to heart attack or stroke. And I really think it's everybody's responsibility. These large multinationals that you mentioned are more than smart enough and intelligent enough to actually make healthy food. And I think we're empowered enough to make sure that we can, you know, maybe stay satiated, stick with the fat. You know, sardines in the morning is a great way to fuel yourself for the day physically and cognitively. So really great advice. And I just wanted to thank both of you for joining us today on the show. And I know that people listening to this, it is going to get them thinking and get them making decisions. And if we could say one last thing to our supermarket chains, get rid of those no, no, no aisles on the way out. Make parents' lives a little bit easier. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, Doc, I think we just lost you there for a sec. You're on mute.
Thank you so much. Well, have a great day.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Keep up the amazing work. Let's get the tax to 20%. It's not going to affect jobs because, again, the companies are smart enough to figure a way around it. So that is Dr. Darren Green, medical doctor and wellness advocate, and Angelica Krumrik, policy and program manager at Healer. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us on the show today. My name is Nicholas Engel. You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM, and I'll chat to you next week.